It's the end of the world as we know it, but there are some who are still feeling fine. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. Along with me today is our co-host, my Vice Chairman, fellow analyst, and good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And maybe I can even find that song to use as a bump for this episode of Principles and Policies.
No, we don't want to scare people off from the radio station thinking that it changed format all of a sudden. No, but Chuck, the point is that it's interesting because I use that phrase and that song line because it really does feel to some people that we're nearing the end of days. There's turmoil, there's upheaval, there's wars, and there's rumors of wars. There's political instability and economic instability across the face of our world, and especially here at home. We're looking at $5 a gallon gas and shortages on things potentially, and we're looking at the potential collapse of the currency, the dollar. We're looking at the potential, as we've talked about on this program before, of unrest in the streets brought on by things like Occupy Wall Street, taking to the streets, potential dangers to the markets. And we've seen the very volatile nature of all those things that the vast majority of people in our society put their hope and their trust in. But Chuck, you and I both know that in order to stave off the worst effects of these doomsday scenarios, that we need to put our faith and trust in something totally different. And we, as you and I and our listeners, I believe as believers, understand that we put our trust and hope in our sovereign God, who allows that all things do work together for good to those who are called and love him and are called according to his purpose. But our friends out in the state of Wyoming, I think they've come up with another idea because they've just introduced in the Wyoming House of Representatives legislation to basically say, if it's the end of the world, here's what Wyoming's going to do. It's called House Bill 85, and on its first reading, it passed by a voice vote. Wyoming's got a little different set of policies for how they pass bills than Ohio does. So basically, this thing has passed its first vote, and what it would do is it would create a task force, or one of our favorite things, create a task force.
Yes, a blue ribbon panel. All right.
Blue ribbon panel that, in case we had a complete meltdown of both the political and or the economic infrastructure in America, Wyoming citizens won't have to worry because the Wyoming state government will step in and run the state from the state level. I laughed about this when I first saw this article, and it was coming from the Wyoming Tribune, which is one of their newspapers of record. And I laughed at this because what are they saying here is that, okay, maybe we as states are depending far too much on the federal government. And what happens if we have some situation in this country that creates a meltdown in our government? We've talked before on this program about certain folks like Bev Perdue in South Carolina saying maybe we should suspend some elections because of our economic issues. We've talked about what the Occupy Wall Street movement's about to do. We've talked about people, including our own president, who would like to basically just tear the Constitution apart and rewrite the structure of our government so that the president doesn't have to deal with the Congress. We've got all kinds of things happening, but State Representative Kermit Brown from Laramie, Wyoming, has said this was part of the bill. Now, he brought an amendment. I think this is hilarious. He brings an amendment to basically say, let's examine what the conditions would be under which the state would need to implement its own military draft, raise its own standing army, and this is the one I got. Now, remember, we're talking about Wyoming here. Acquire strike aircraft and an aircraft carrier. Now, I'm not sure what body of water in Wyoming is big enough to hold an aircraft carrier, but Representative Kermit Brown is really looking at all the possibilities.
I'm not sure there's a navigable river that is navigable enough for a super carrier in Wyoming. Why, in the name of all that's holy, they would want a standing army? I don't know. Is Wyoming thinking about maybe building an Imperial Strike Force?
I'm not sure, Chuck, this isn't necessarily a good thing to be thinking along the lines of in one sense, because what we have now, as we've taught you and I've talked about on this program, there is a move or an impetus toward federalizing everything. I mean, we saw it under the Bush administration during Hurricane Katrina, where the administration came in and demanded for the governor of Louisiana to hand over Louisiana National Guard to federal control. And of course, Louisiana governor at the time, Kelly Blanco, said, basically, forget it. I know the Constitution. I'm not going to allow you to federalize state militia. You're just not going to do that. And so maybe Wyoming's got an idea here that, you know what, if our political system or our governmental system collapses or is attacked, or we end up with somebody who decides he's going to take control of everything unilaterally, maybe it's a good idea if we as a state could exercise our sovereignty in a way that really made an impact.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute, because here's where Kathleen Blanco was actually incorrect. Yeah, she's claiming that the National Guard are the state militia, which they aren't. Under the Dick Act of, I believe, 1909, the National Guard are actually federal troops under state control. They're paid by the federal government. They're equipped by the federal government. They're under the control of the governor until such time as the federal government calls them up. Under the old militia system, and I'll be quite honest, we've gotten away so far from thinking in that direction that I have an idea that Kermit Brown really meant, instead of a standing army, that he wanted to create a militia. Under the Dick Act, these federal troops are under state control and can be refederalized at any time. Under the constitutional system with militias, and those are completely run, manned, and equipped by the states, and they can only be called up by an act of Congress.
Yes.
And there are very limited specifics under which they can be called up. They can't be done on a whim. President Kennedy proved in 1963, when George Wallace threatened to use the Alabama National Guard to keep students from entering the University of Alabama at Selma. And Kennedy took advice from his brother, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, and immediately federalized the National Guard. Now, we could argue back and forth whether it was a good thing that the National Guard was used to segregate the University of Alabama or not. And that's not really what we're here for. But the fact is that all it took was an order from the president. Well, under the Constitution, under the militia system, that couldn't have been done. And some people would say, well, that proves it's a good idea. Well, that's kind of arguable. I'm glad that people of color have the same opportunities to attend college as white residents of Alabama, but I'm not sure it should have been shoved down their throat that way by federal troops. I'm not real sure that was a great idea. They should have come to the conclusion on their own. But that being said, that illustrates the fact that states are not in control of their National Guards. The federal government really is in ultimate control, unlike the militias. And in fact, during the War of 1812, a number of states attempted, the federal government attempted to nationalize a number of the Northeastern states' militias. And those states, Massachusetts, Connecticut, several of those states basically said, no, we're not sending troops to the War of 1812. We'll keep them here, thanks, and if any British invade, we'll be happy to fight them off. But until such time, no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference between the modern system and the constitutional system. Now, that being said, I don't think this bill is necessarily such a bad idea. The states need to start thinking in terms of the fact that they should be able to operate essentially on their own if necessary. Right. They should have. What man doesn't go to build a tower but first sits down to count the cost? This is a planning measure, and it's not a bad plan. I mean, things could go south really fast. One bad thing happens in Washington, D.C., and the federal government goes into collapse or something. They've got to have a plan to make sure that people don't panic. And that government, some kind of government to maintain order, stays in place. Depending on how the way the thing's worded. Now, I don't think Wyoming thinking in terms of building an aircraft carrier is such a wise way to go. And you never know, somebody may have thrown that in there sort of to kill the thing as sort of a humorous way to attempt to make it into a logical absurdity. And that provision certainly would. Let's face it. This idea that they're basically prepared to march on if something happens to D.C., I think that's a great idea. I think every state would do that.
Well, you know, one of the other provisions in this as well was for this task force to look at the feasibility of Wyoming issuing its own currency.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Chuck, you know, you and I have been hard money advocates for a long time, and we also know that there have been efforts for private distribution of minted coinage that the feds have shined a negative light on. to the point of arresting, confiscating, and putting people in prison for doing so. But that if a state actor starts talking about putting together an alternative currency, I think they're going to be running into a slight problem here because of the Constitution of the United States.
Well, here's the problem, Barry. I think, again, it depends on the way it's worded, but the fact is that they're not talking about issuing a currency until such time as there is a general collapse. And if there is a general collapse, how is the federal government going to come after them for that?
Well, and that's true, that the federal government may not be able to actually prosecute them at that point. But, I mean, we still have to look at the situation that just because the operations of government may fall apart, it doesn't necessarily indicate that the governance of government, i.e. our Constitution, is immediately thrown to the side and we're going to say everybody's going to start all over again. I mean, we still have a Constitution that even that the feds and the states will have to deal with to some extent in relation to any kind of a potential catastrophe. Wyoming's not the only state, though, Chuck. There are six other states, at least right now, that have put proposals out on the table to look at alternative currencies. Because, honestly, we're looking at a $15 trillion national debt, and it's growing every time the president makes a speech. We are looking at other countries defaulting. We're looking at someday, potentially soon, countries who hold our bonds and our debt papers are going to come wanting to cash them in. We may be running into a fiscal nightmare sooner than people realize. And the point is that it might actually have to be a very localist kind of response, in that we're going to have to figure out some way of people still being able to engage in commerce and people still being able to at least have some protection for the value of what they have, their rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, property rights. So keeping their property rights protected in some sense. So, yeah, I don't think this is a bad idea. And yes, it is based upon the premise that everything could go south. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think maybe that amendment to look at strike aircraft and an aircraft carrier for Wyoming might have been a way to try to put a poison pill in the bill, but it didn't seem to work because the amendment was approved and added to the measure. I guess they decided, no, we're not going to take anything off the table. We're going to study this and see what it's going to take.
This may be a case where if things do collapse, Wyoming is ready to conquer the West.
That could be the case. But the point is, though, Chuck, I don't think they're going to get very far, even with their task force's work, because the problem is that, you know, when you create an entity to do something, you got to fund it. And Wyoming did fund in this bill. There is a funding source attached for this, the work of this task force, $32,000.
To build an aircraft carrier, that'll work.
Well, yeah, to study the feasibility of building an aircraft carrier, I think that was probably going to be a quick fix. But the problem is that by the time this bill got through getting approved in its first reading, now it has to go through three approvals in its house of origin, as they say, in order for it to move on. The Joint Appropriations Committee of the Wyoming Legislature cut the appropriation in half. So they only have $16,000 to figure out how they're going to rebuild the entire political structure in the absence of any kind of maybe a federal national government or national economy. Now, Charles, you and I wouldn't even start looking at trying to build a business if we only had $16,000 to do it with.
It would be a very small business.
It would be a very small business. So I'm not sure to what extent this bill is going to keep moving through the Wyoming legislature. But the point is that what we have, though, is the beginning of the conversation in state governments about, well, what do we do if the federal system collapses? What do we do if we get to a point where it isn't that we're demanding our sovereignty, it's that we have to exercise our own sovereignty. And we have to pick up the pieces from the Fed.
We are out of time.
Well, I figured we would be, so we'll talk about more things later on. But this is just one of those issues that you kind of have to think about. It's like our security comes from Christ, but it's always good, as you mentioned, to when you're going to build a building, count the cost ahead of time.
Stay tuned for more reports on Wyoming attempting to build an empire on a budget. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.